So, Paul Tonko, my absolute favorite friend, tell me about the 2016 elections. I'm going to make a prediction, which I made many months ago, that it's going to be Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton. That's
really
the way that it's going to be.
Out of that crowded field.
Well, the crowded field, I mean, to me,
it's
Sam,
bigger than the Derby
field. The next guy we're going to hear from is Sam the bartender, who wants a little attention. So, you know, why not put your name out there? I think there are serious candidates, but I also think there are people who know they don't have a darn chance, you know, of getting anywhere. But who
is that based then? That forecast is based on the amount of money invested in the campaigns?
No, that forecast is based on the polls.
Okay.
And we have these two, as they say in England, dynasties.
Two
dynasties with famous names, and with the American public, which does not always pay a tremendous amount of attention to our contemporary politics, what happens.
You know, you're picking the favorites there, and probably that's what happens. And I think it will be important for both candidates to really speak to today's issues so that there's not a drop-off with the, with a kind of a rerun that people would imagine it to be. And I think that's far from what it would be, because we've passed many years since those people have been in office. So I think that there would be every effort made to really bring it up to the present moment and talk about the issues that are important today, including empowering the middle class.
Well, you know, you're a brilliant man. You really are. And I want to ask you, something about this. Injecting himself into all of this is a guy who sits at this very table with us, or who's on the air with us all the time, Bernie Sanders, who has announced that he's running for president. And he's going to pull some left-wing votes. There's no question about people who think income inequality. And I notice he's already pushing Hillary, because Hillary is now coming out with a lot of statements about income inequality, and that sort of cuts the rug out from under Bernie a little bit.
But see, I think a primary for either side helps define the candidate, the eventual candidate.
Sure.
And so I think what might be seen as opposition might be helpful to the front runner here, to Hillary Clinton, so that she becomes more defined in the minds of those most likely to vote in a Democratic primary. And I think it's fair to state that for both of the major parties, the left of center for the Democrats and right of center for the Republicans are those most apt to vote. And I think that definition, the defining of the candidate, is probably going to be a helpful thing in securing that nomination.
So a simple question, Paul. Which of the two, Bernie Sanders or Hillary, are you supporting?
Well, we're 19 months away from the election. And, I think we will watch this play out. I think Hillary would make a great president. But I think, we're 19 months away from an election. I had worked on energy issues with her when she ran for the United States Senate and eventually won and represented this state well. I think that, Bernie Sanders is very respected in the Democratic Party, as is Hillary Clinton. So I think those endorsements will come down the road. But the important thing here is to make certain that a progressive outcome is the result for the White House. And I don't see that coming from the other side of the fence, from the Republican candidacies.
Well, so how much does passion count? I mean, for example, I like Hillary, too, and I respect her, but I love Bernie. Now, Bernie is going to be seen as somebody who is in there, but many people won't see him as really viable. So does passion for a Democratic voter take over?
I think passion is always important. I think it becomes even more important, as this election draws near over the next couple of months, 19 months. I think the passion will be important because a lot of people have been flatlined out there with their household income. And they're struggling through some tough times. And I think that the passion will be important. People will, I think to get them to those polls, you're going to need to ignite that electorate. And the passion is oftentimes a charge that will make it happen. But we have got to make the middle class the message here.
Paul Tonko, you know how much respect I have for you. And you are, of course, a brilliant practitioner of practical politics. You served in the Assembly for many years. and we see that a guy you know, Shelley Silver, had to step aside based on an accusation without being found guilty, but based on an accusation, he had to step aside. Now, Dean Skelos, the leader of the Senate, who I know you know also, is saying he's staying in office. He's not moving. The newspapers are of one opinion and get out until you're proven innocent. And there are those people who think that that isn't right, you know, innocent until proven guilty. I wonder where you are in all of this.
Well, you know, I just hope they get to the bottom of it and create the necessary reforms. I served there for 25 years in the state assembly, and I love the institution and don't want to see it scarred. And, you know, there were great things we were able to do. Mental health parity that I worked on and got across the finish line. Power for jobs. All sorts of activity for more progressive distribution of education aid, which today is under challenge. But there are so many things that enabled us to do good and do things that strengthen our opportunity as a state. I hate to see this kind of broad brushing that comes, and it does, in a legislative branch.
You mean if one guy's a crook, everybody's a crook.
Right. And so I hope they get to the bottom of this. And as we learned from the Senator Bruno trial, it's a long-term process.
Sure.
It's a function of many, many weeks and months, and in the meantime, it holds back the sort of proactive quality that you need in the legislature right now.
Yes, of course, Paul. But in the end, I guess the question is: should Dean Skelos step aside or not, as leader?
Well, I think it. You know, while you're under that microscope, it's probably helpful to the progress of the House to have leadership that can move the Senate forward. Yeah. And it's very difficult when you're under that cloud of uncertainty. And
so
it's
unfortunate. I take it this is a yes.
It's unfortunate, but I think it helps the institution to move forward with new leadership.
So would it be inappropriate for the Times Union of Albany to have an article in it which says, Tonko calls for Skelos to step aside?
Well, look, it's the Senate determines who their leadership is going to be. And far be it from me to tell the Senate what to do. I'm just looking at moving forward with a number of issues and dynamics that are essential for this state to continue to grow jobs and build an empowerment for the middle class. It's for them to decide. I think that you know, only the Senate working day to day knows what this means operations.
Sorry to interrupt, Paul, but your Republican colleague, Chris Gibson, sat in that very chair the other day and said Skelos should get out.
Get out or step aside?
Step aside.
Step aside. Yeah. Well, I'm saying that I think it would make functioning in the House a lot easier, and you have to put the voters first and the outcome of the state first.
Paul Tonko, we always love having you here with us, and it's always my pleasure to discuss the tough issues with you.
Thank you very much.
You're the very best. Thank you so much for being with us. Come back the next time. I'll ask you some other questions.